It's our weekly fantasy sports podcast. Tim Benz with Jeff Erickson. Jeff, of course, from RotoWire, best fantasy analyst in the country. Best fantasy website you're going to find is RotoWire. Check them out. We'll give you all the specials coming up for this week that they've got, all the points of interest, links, articles, and everything else you need for your fantasy needs. And we'll get into golf, too, with the PGA Championships coming up this week. Have a podcast up online with Brian Taylor from Real Golf Radio to talk about that. But Jeff, let's start first and foremost with baseball and with Mitch Keller. He's the big bright spot in Pittsburgh right now. He's getting lots of buzz in town for his last two outings, which have been absolutely tremendous. What's the buzz in the fantasy world about Mitch Keller as he gets set for his next start on Saturday against the D-backs?
I think the fantasy world is like, is this finally it? Is he for real? And, you know,
so it's no different than here then.
Oh yeah, exactly. 13 Ks though in his last outing. He's throwing his fastball less, but it's throwing it harder and it's more effectively too. His secondary pitches which are becoming more his primary pitches are really kicked in. Maybe we should kind of have a different classification for it. Don't call it secondary, call it non-fastballs. You know, seems like that he's getting a lot more swing and miss with that, and that's what's impressive. He's not giving up a whole lot in the way of home runs, only four homers allowed this year. Everything seems to be clicking. He was the oasis in the Pirates' desert of wins. They seem like they're emerging from that now a little bit finally, but you know, it was for a while it was only his days where they were winning.
Exactly. They finally got their first non-Mitch Keller start win against the Detroit Tigers yesterday, where they busted out for eight runs. Previously, they had gone the last 14 games with four runs or fewer, and they only got to that four-run plateau once. So, yeah, anybody who bought into the Pirates pixie dust that was sprinkled for the first 28 games of the season and got some of the Pirates batters on their team, they're probably thinking worse about that now based on how things have gone. Even Brian Reynolds, whose some numbers are good, but his power numbers have been absent.
Yeah, no doubt they were inspired by the sprint off with Rich Hill and Miguel Cabrera to first base yesterday on that one there. I was just like, don't pull
exactly. What are the split times between pitcher and first base? If you look at Statcast or whatever, you know, we always put the Statcast numbers up for O'Neill Cruz when he's running the bases. What are they for Rich Hill after that? And the way he was grunting on the mound too, my God. Yeah. It sounded like he wasn't going to make it through the third inning.
He's a throwback for sure. And you know, that's the thing is he's, you know, combined age between the two of those. Yeah, it's just off the charts. You should have a combine, old player combine there. I think we'd all watch.
So Jeff, let's get a little bit broader view of Major League Baseball and the fantasy world for baseball. It had to be a fun week for folks. Some of the big names really came through. All the drama in the Yankees series against the Toronto Blue Jays, Judge with the three home runs to start the series over 2 days. And then, of course, you had Shohei with one of the great fantasy days of all time. I guess it wasn't great on the mound, but he got the win at the very least and nearly hit for the cycle. That would have been the first time ever that a starting pitcher won a game and hit for the cycle.
Yeah, and, you know, on that triple, he was just kind of cruising into third base, too. You know, he wasn't really going full out, probably instructed not to go full out, you know, because they're trying to keep his legs. Strained his neck in the game, too, and that's part of the reason why he wasn't pitching as well. But the home run he hit was in Ken Griffey Jr. in the home run derby territory, you know, that far. To the point where Oriole fans were like we're applauding him. You got to love it when you see an opposing opposing team's fans, you know, cheer a guy like that. And they've seen between Ohtani and Trout, they've seen a lot of Angels perform some heroics. That catch by Trout in his rookie year was iconic. Still gets shown in highlights from now time to time. Yeah, it was super fun watching that. Yankees Jays has been a great series. It's a four gamer, so we get one more tonight. Looking forward to that. But obviously, lots of intrigue going on with that. Whether it was Alec Manoah walking seven guys somehow, the Aaron Judge peeking over at the first base coach thing, saying he's looking at the dugout because they were chirping too much. Domingo Herman with Pine Tar Gate. And then Wednesday, Gerrit Cole versus Chris Bassett. Great pitchers duel, both. Chris Bassett was getting pounded earlier in the year. He now has a streak of 27 scoreless innings. So, you know, pretty impressive turnaround for him.
Yeah, we saw that as it was starting to turn in his favor against the Pirates earlier this year as well. Let's get to some of the good, some of the bad, whether it's declining trends or improving trends now that we're approaching Memorial Day here, Jeff? What are you seeing fantasy-wise, big storylines, kind of red flags to be aware of, and maybe some investments or commodities to jump on right now before they really start to peak Memorial Day weekend?
So a lot, okay, one of the things we're seeing is a lot of young pitchers getting the call, and we're big bids on them in our free agent leagues. It's been a constant theme for us. Last week is Yuri Perez of the Marlins. The week before we saw like Tanner Bibee and Bryce Miller in Seattle were guys that were getting the call. And this week we'll be bidding on Matthew Liberatore from the Cardinals, who threw a gem against the Brewers yesterday. You know, it was like manna from heaven. They needed a big start, and they had really struggled getting top starters going here. So that they desperately needed another good start. They got it. They're going with a 6-man rotation. The other thing we're seeing is, more and more runs are starting to get scored. We've seen some big numbers this week. The Cardinals won 18-1. Braves beat the Rangers 12-0 the other day. Starting to see, the Red Sox just got to Marco Gonzalez. So you're starting to see that all around there. And it's really, you think you're having a good fantasy day. Oh, I got 3 homers today. Sweet. I should move up. Oh, no, everybody had a big day. So that didn't have as much impact as you thought it might.
Like the Pirates, for instance, 8 runs against the Tigers for them in the second of that 2-game series is like 18 for the Cardinals against the Brewers, the way things have been going.
Right.
That's for sure. I'd also suggest when it comes to, you're talking about call-ups for pitchers, everybody in Pittsburgh is waiting to see if they pull the trigger on Andy Rodriguez or Henry Davis. They're both hitting at double and triple A respectively. The thinking is they wanted to split those two guys. So maybe Davis is staying at double A, not because he shouldn't be up to triple A, but because Rodriguez is there already. And Davis is just hitting the snot out of the ball. I don't know if I think they're going to be paranoid and not pull the trigger on calling him up, at least for the near future. The service time concerns and all that, but he's wearing out double A pitching right now. I'm not sure what his defense is like. It's what we only hear about his hitting, but his hitting is where they thought it would be when they took him number one overall.
Well, and isn't that always the thing about like catcher prospects? Sometimes the bat will be ready, but okay, he's got to learn how to handle a pitching staff. He's got to learn all, there's a higher defensive burden for catchers, and the physical toll it takes on you too is always something to watch for there. So that always slows down promotions. We saw that with the O's and Adley Rutschman. And yes, of course, we have to ask the question, are they manipulating service time? Let's face it, the Pirates have earned that. They are going to have to face questions like that until they act otherwise. Same thing with the O's in previous years. But at the same time, we've seen other catchers really struggle at the plate. Francisco Alvarez had a big day yesterday, but he wasn't exactly tearing the cover off the ball. And they took their time getting him behind the plate. They didn't want to trust him with the pitching staff right away.
Jeff, since we last spoke, the NFL schedule was released for fantasy players. Obviously, what comes to mind is, okay, how close of attention do I have to pay for Thursday nights? The Steelers are on 2 Thursday night games. They're both home games after home games, so at least it's a break there. But a lot of conspiracy theory talk about how the schedule broke out, especially for a team like Pittsburgh that said they didn't want flex scheduling. Well, they got thrown into 2 Thursday night games, as did 6 of 7 teams that voted against flex scheduling. They wound up with 2 Thursday night games. And
that's wild.
Maybe it's wild or maybe it's planned, one or the other. But, I thought the whole deal about trying to get better games on Thursday nights was to help the ratings and whatnot. And then, what was it, 13 of the 14 teams that are already wed to Thursday night games, multiple Thursday night games, were not playoff teams of a year ago. Is that right? Something crazy like that? So it's not
I haven't done the deep dive on that, but that sounds about right. The other, Warren Sharp always does the rest advantage thing. I don't know if you're familiar with him on Twitter.
Yeah, I heard about the Aaron Rodgers that nobody plays.
The Jets, like, far and away the best rest schedule, like not even close. And the Chiefs far and away have the worst, which is also very interesting to see. Sometimes though, it doesn't play out like that, but it's definitely something worth watching, watching for. I know Chiefs Bengals in week 17, I'm excited about that game. I kind of wish it was earlier in the season, to be honest with you there, because if home field is on the line and then you're gonna have to play these guys again a month later, it's just, I kind of wish there was a little bit more separation there. That's all.
Jeff, let's talk about golf, the PGA Championship this week at Oak Hill in Rochester. I know you're big when it comes to fantasy golf. Who do you have this week? And are you looking forward to watching this one play out?
Yeah, totally. I've got it on right now. And, you know, the course looks great. Looks really hard. Leader right now is at 4 under, and it's for the most of the day, though, it's been at 3 and 2. So, you know, it's been, you're not going to see a birdie fest. That's for sure. I mean, Rahm is off to a terrible start. I kind of had Rahm in my one and done pools. I'm worried about that. Now I think last I saw he was 4 over already. So, you know, that could be troublesome. But yeah, the thing is, it's just, it's a great field. 99 of the top 100 are there. Only Will Zalatoris, who's hurt, is the only one that's missing. I had a hard time handicapping the LIV guys. I think everybody felt the same way. Like, how important is it for them to be playing more often or playing tougher courses? Because they're not playing the toughest courses. Right. They can't get on them. Mm-hmm. At least their tour events can't. They could probably get on them themselves individually. But, you know, how important is that as you're preparing for a major? It didn't seem like it was that massive of importance at Augusta. But then again, Augusta is kind of unique. You know, it's a lot of a lot of knowledge of the course matters there. Not necessarily like it's not necessarily the purest test of golf skill in some ways. In the terms, you know, Mickelson obviously is the lightning rod guy that we point to as far as that goes.
Koepka too, right?
Yeah, except Koepka won the week before. Like, Mickelson showed no reason why he was going to be competitive in that tournament. And then he goes and has the weekend that he did. So,
yeah.
You know, it just shows, though, that, I mean, even, like, the worst professional golfer is this close to putting it all together for 4 days sometimes, too.
Jeff, what do you have at RotoWire this week, whether it's golf, baseball, fantasy football, anything with the basketball, the NBA draft lottery? I imagine there's some thoughts there about how that broke out.
Yeah, we got that all covered for you there. Interested to see Wembanyama go to San Antonio, where they've had a lot of success, both the lottery and with foreign players. You know, whether it was Tony Parker, whether it was Manu Ginobili, you know, Pop was there for all of that. And, you know, he gets one last ride basically there. So conspiracy theorists assemble, I guess, is part of that there. But, you know, I'm kind of happy to see it instead of like, well, I won't disparage any fan base there, but there's some that I'm happy that they didn't get it. And of course, my Pacers never get it. So they're drafting 7th, probably still get a really good player, but we would love to have that one game changing player just once ever in the franchise history.
Jeff, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Where can people go to get everything they need for RotoWire?
Just go to rotowire.com/free, get you a free peek behind the paywall, no credit cards required, get a free trial. And then once that expires, we hope you want to subscribe, off you go. Check out everything though. It's all available. rotowire.com/free.
Jeff, thanks. We'll do it again next week.
You bet. Thanks, Tim.
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire.